OTB Sports Radio.
This Sunday on OTB Sports Radio, we're bringing you an exclusive first listen of a special interview with Muhammad Ali's former business manager, Gene Kilroy. The last survivor from Ali's inner circle joined myself, Shane Hannan, for an hour full of great insight and never-before-told stories, such as this from just minutes before the rumble in the jungle when Ali fought George Foreman.
Ali had no fear.
And the time Ali went looking for Joe Frazier.
Ali gets out of the car, the cops said, "Where do you think you're going?" He said, "I'm looking for Joe Frazier. Where's Joe Frazier?"
Hear it first this Bank Holiday Sunday at 7 p.m. exclusively on OTB Sports Radio. Listen on offtheball.com or download the Go Loud app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, celebrating 10 years of iconic sporting moments at the Aviva Stadium.
Delighted to say now that General Secretary of the PFAI, Stephen McGuinness, is with us on the line. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Hey, Alan. How are you?
Very well, thanks. So we're talking at the moment about making the League of Ireland and the comeback worthwhile. Basically, can the FAI afford this? Can it make the back pockets fuller than you might think they might be because of the fact that without people going through the turnstiles at League of Ireland clubs, there is the most important revenue stream missing. So Niall Quinn, I understand, is going to do a call with some League of Ireland players tomorrow. What sort of questions are going to be asked of him at that point?
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, it was great to see the test results yesterday coming back. Obviously, with no positives, the social responsibility from our players has obviously been very good. And we're in contact with the players regularly. They requested a meeting with Niall to discuss the current situation in relation to return of the league. Obviously, we have four teams, hopefully back training on June the 8th. But we've also got, as I'm sure you're aware, 19 teams in the league, and 50% of the players in the Premier Division are only on the COVID wage subsidy scheme. So it's important for the players to get a feel from the FAI about where our game is going and when the potential return is. I think our players look across Europe, and in the majority of leagues, particularly the summer leagues, nearly all of them now have a restart date, and we don't have that yet. So I think the players are looking to the hierarchy of the FAI for some clarity around when our game is going to return, or if our game is going to return, and what's in place, and what the plans are, and how far down the line are the plans, and how realistic is it that we will see professional football from a league point of view back hopefully in August is the plan, but from a financial perspective, exactly where are we? And I think it's in the past, maybe the FAI would have dodged meetings with players or wouldn't have been up front. And I think you got to give credit to Niall. He was more than willing to meet with each delegate of the clubs in a group call tomorrow with us. And I think that's hugely important, that the information and the exact position where it's at, that the players are made fully aware of it.
Do you know what the potential revenue streams might be, Stephen?
I suppose, like everything on streaming is one part of it. There's obviously, I think, the wage subsidy scheme that is currently in play with the government, I think that's key for our clubs to maintain and to continue to be able to honour the contracts. I think that's very important. I think the FAI have put a huge investment into the testing. I think it's upwards of 200,000 is their investment into it. I think the investment is not just about the elite end of the game. I think it's the return of all elements of the game, whether it's amateur, school boy, school girl. I think the investment that the FAI have made into it is to ensure that all our games return at a point down the line here, but be able to prove to government that our sport is safe. But from a financial perspective, there is assistance needed. There's no two ways around it. Our monthly wage bill in our league will be roughly 600,000. So it's a significant amount of money that has to be raised. And as you say, we're so reliant on match day revenue, and with no crowds in, that leaves obviously a gaping hole. And you would think assistance would be needed. I mean, I'd be disappointed at looking at FIFA with cash reserves of 2.3 billion. You would think that they would be looking right across Europe at the leagues and looking to assist. And up to now, FIFA haven't done that. And it's hugely disappointing, considering what has gone on behind the scenes at FIFA. You think that they would come. And I suppose as much as we look to our governing body to assist the game, and the FAI financial situation is well known. But a body like FIFA, who governs the game, you would expect them at some stage here to be able to assist the game at both grassroots and at an elite level. And I'd be hopeful that they will come.
Right, okay. Like, it's great to hear that there is hope that that might come, but in the eventuality that that doesn't come, it seems that if there's going to be €600,000 required to pay wages and 50% of that is being made up currently of the COVID subsidy, you're kind of looking for something in the region of €300,000. And is that going to come from streaming alone, Stephen? That's probably a big question.
I think we all have to be realistic, and I think it is going to take everybody to get around the table. If we are going to get this, get football back, I think there is a point in time where everybody has to sit around, and there may need to be a movement and a leap of faith from everybody a little bit here, to get the game back. I think the European teams have obviously European competition, which brings in significant cash flows. But for the other six teams who aren't in Europe, it is difficult. I know the FAI are trying to look at what the gate receipts and match day revenue, what them figures are, and can there be investment from them into it? And can the clubs look at different revenue streams to ensure that we get the season up and running? Because I think it would be catastrophic for the league if we didn't get back and we were looking at a restart of March. I mean, there's players' careers. Obviously, there's lots of top young players. I think we see that with our under 21 international team and the talent that's in the league, to have them a season out of their careers, and the careers are quite short as it is. And then obviously look at the elephant in the room is the players' contracts, and they do have a contract, and the contracts have to be honoured, and that's something that we all don't want to find ourselves facing off in relation to a contract. So hopefully, as I said, everybody can get around the table and ensure that the gap that you talked about there can be minimised as much as possible. But there is going to be a little bit of a risk for everybody coming back, and that's both financial and from a health and safety perspective. So, as I said, from a PFA point of view, we're very much open to discuss whatever it takes for a game to come back. The players, the five clubs who are continuing to play, the players respect the level that the clubs have gone to. And hopefully, as I say, that as each week goes on, that we get closer to a resolution on this. And obviously FIFA pushing their meeting back to mid-June has delayed things slightly in regards to a decision being made. But I think, as you said, it's important that the FAI are up front with the players, and I'm sure Niall will be, and to put them in the picture of where he sees it, both short-term and medium-term.
Just on those FIFA payments, there was a story last month, about FIFA paying out to its member organisations something to the tune of, I think, €450,000. Are you saying that more money on top of that is required, or is it that those funds have yet to be fully rubber stamped and are yet to be in the coffers of the FAI?
Yeah, I'm talking about more significant money than that.
Right.
I mean, we've been in contact with FIFA, the World Players Union, who have been lobbying with FIFA to it, like they're for leagues to return of similar size to ourselves. There is distress everywhere from a financial perspective, and when you have a governing body who is carrying that type of $2.3 billion in cash, you would think at some stage here they look around the game, and they've had such controversy during Sepp Blatter's time, that here's a time now that FIFA can really stand up and show that they cared about football and they cared about the game right across Europe and right across the world. Because there's lots of people like myself would look at FIFA and just wonder what does the organisation do? Like, the game is on its knees in some countries. And morally, I think they have an absolute responsibility to assist the game right across the world, and they have a huge opportunity to do it now.
Look, Stephen, I totally understand exactly how that pile of cash that they're sitting on must be very galling for anybody involved in football in at the level you're at. The difficulty, I suspect, though, is that if they give some to Irish clubs, do the Premier League clubs then knock on the door and say, well, why does Shamrock Rovers deserve it more than Southampton or any of the teams in England? And like, I think that very quickly that $2.3 billion would disappear if they have to pay Neymar, for example. So there needs to be some kind of system in place where it's a relief fund for leagues that are about to go to the wall. And I guess that kind of leads back to the point of just how existential is this crisis. We have Philip Brown on, the chief executive of the IRFU, talking with Keith Woods just after 9 o'clock this morning, and he uses the word existential a lot and has called on the government here to step in. So maybe that's the first route, is to exhaust exactly what the possibility of getting money from the Irish government is and what level of support they're going to offer to professional sport. Again, that's a very difficult thing for them to do, because you know a load of people are going to lose their jobs, and we're facing a very difficult time. So what value do we as a society place on making sure that these sports continue to function, and what's the societal value of having a football club like Shamrock Rovers or St. Pat's or Sligo Rovers or Cork City, which is a community centre and a community hub, and how it reaches into the community. So a lot is up. It's a very complicated situation that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And I think you were speaking about it earlier as well, about from a social point of view, from a mental health point of view, from an activity point of view. Like, it's soccer is the most participated sport in the country. And as you said, Jared, it covers thousands upon thousands of people every single weekend. Lots of people live for sport, live for football, live for rugby, live for GAA. And I do think there is a government responsibility. I can only speak about football, and I suppose it is galling for somebody like myself and anybody involved from a union perspective. And you look at FIFA and you look at the cash reserve, and I do get your point around the Premier League and how it's done, but it's got to be a bottom up. You've got to work with each federation. I know that there has been contact between FIFA and the FAI, and they've written to them and outlined from a financial perspective where our league is at. There is obviously a responsibility of government. Now, the government have been very good to our game, I have to say, particularly in the last number of months. You'd be aware of the assistance that they've given to football. Without the government's assistance, I shudder to think where Irish football would be. So they have assisted. I do think they have a role to play. I don't think there's any doubts about that. I think they're playing a role now in ensuring that sport gets back. But they do have a responsibility, obviously. And I suppose that's for them to decide with the NGBs, and to ensure that we have a healthy sport to return to when everybody gets back to playing and participating.
Is there a possibility that some clubs actually go to the wall at this point? Is that the point that we're at in this story, do you think?
I suppose, like everything, like I'm aware of, even at small clubs in Leinster senior leagues and amateur leagues around the country are struggling because they haven't got any revenue streams. At the professional end, Jared, I suppose, 50% of the teams who are paying only COVID payments, so they don't really have a massive outlay. I think right now everybody's okay, everybody's fine, but it's when contracts have to be honoured, Jared. And I suppose that there's a number of clubs who haven't paid players their wages for 10 to 12 weeks now. And when that bill falls due, I think there is a huge difficulty there in how that's going to be managed. And if we don't get back to play, I don't see any opportunity to be paying that. At least if we come back to play, you have some chance of paying the bills. But if we don't come back to play, I think there's a hugely difficult situation for the players, the clubs and everybody in. And nobody wants to see any club go to the wall. But there is potential that if contracts aren't honoured, that is the only route open. And that's why we're so keen to try and get the game back, and so keen to try and work with the clubs to ensure that we don't get to that scenario.
I have one last question on this. The IRFU obviously put the stake in the ground of August 22nd for a match to be played in the Aviva, and it's going to be an interprovincial, so there's no travel involved. There's a sense that if football was to pick a date and work towards that it puts pressure on everybody to get ready for that. And actually, that's no bad thing. Like, you know, we've seen the tests begin to work for the European teams. That could roll out between now and August. That's 2 months away. For the other teams in the league, you could by that stage see that the retransmission rate has fallen even further. There's some reports that it's no longer in the community. Like, you know, we're going to see exactly what happens over the next 2 months, and fingers crossed it all goes in the right direction. Would you be in favour of just picking a date and saying that's the return of the league and let's just build towards that, and almost to see if that can create its own kind of internal momentum?
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Jen. I think that's what the players are looking for. I think that would be one of the questions to Niall on Friday is putting that stake in the ground. There's provisionally looking at dates around August 14th of a return. So currently, obviously, the players return to training on June 8th. Our players will be tested 12 times before the tournament on July 20th and tested another 4 times during the tournament. So we're then hopeful, obviously, that everything it's clear from that end, from a health and safety perspective, and that you were then looking at return from a league perspective around the 14th of August. But you would like that just to be, as you said, and marked in the sand and saying, here's the date that we're going to return, and everybody then building towards that and building momentum towards that with the rest of the teams returning to training on the 28th of June. So again, that's something that the FAI have to decide. They're obviously in discussions with the clubs and have had numerous meetings with them. I think it was 3 or 4 meetings with the clubs last week. And we do understand fully the financial situation of the clubs. Nobody wants, as a director of a club, to trade recklessly and come back if financially it isn't viable. We absolutely understand that. But players do have contracts that have to be honoured, and it is a really difficult time for everybody. But as you're saying, I do think that if a date is picked, and that August 14th is the date being floated at the moment, that it gives, and it also gives the players in their own minds a date that they can focus on, because at the moment they're training like endlessly with no sort. You need a focus. You need to know what you're training towards. Our European teams have that now with the July 20th tournament, and I think the players will be asking the same question on Friday of when exactly do they see themselves returning to play.
Stephen, how concerned would you be about the government looking at the COVID subsidy scheme and adjusting that, bringing down the number? Because I think it's inevitable that that will happen before social distancing is eradicated, before you will have the normal revenue streams of League of Ireland clubs come back.
If that was removed, that would have a massive effect. We'd be in serious trouble. Like, it covers currently about 2/3 of the wage, the wage subsidy scheme. So if that was to be pulled, from a professional football point of view, we'd be in massive trouble. I think there does have to be discussions around that. You don't like putting huge. I mean, everybody is in the same. Whether you're a vintner, whether you're at hotels, everybody's looking for assistance. I understand that. But from our perspective, if the wage subsidy scheme was removed, we would be in serious trouble, because every single club in our league is utilising it at the moment. And as you said, the match day revenue is our, that's where the main cash flow comes from for our league. Unfortunately, it shows our league, from how it's structured, that with no TV deal and no real proper commercial deals, that we are so reliant on match day revenue. And that's why we're in such financial difficulty at the moment. And the wage subsidy scheme, Owen, is absolutely key for the future of our game, both in the short term and medium term. That has to stay in play. If that is taken out, I just don't see how we return.
And that's a legacy, I guess, of a load of revenue streams not properly being explored over the last 10, 15 years of the League of Ireland as well. Like, kind of on a final point then, if you're preparing yourself for the worst, are you preparing the players to face that eventuality of finding work elsewhere? If the number of professional players that are able to be employed in this country have to dwindle, hopefully it never comes to that. But if that is the reality, do you, as the head of the PFAI, have to help prepare the players for that eventuality?
Yeah, we do. And we've put a huge amount of time and effort. We've hired full-time staff member in that area in player development. And we have been working with the players to prepare them for whatever eventuality comes along. And we are hopeful on that professional football survives through this. We're confident that the players can and hopefully will mentally be prepared for whatever eventuality comes along. I do think there's a general will there on for our clubs to return. I think there have been some media reports that maybe a number of the clubs, for various reasons, wouldn't want to return. But any club I've spoken to is desperate to return. They just need to make sure that it's financially viable to do that. And if it is, I think we'll have every club will return. There is going to have to be an element of risk, no matter what. There's no way the FAI in a financial position to cover, to ensure that no club is going to lose any money in returning to play. I think that's unrealistic. But I do think that there's a general will there from the supporters, from the players and from the clubs themselves to return. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, that decision can be made, and that we can get football back, and that from a financial perspective, that in the short and medium term, that our game can prosper. But what you said on earlier is the key thing here. We need to learn from this. Our game hasn't been protected the way it should have been. It didn't get the care and attention that it deserved. And out of this, I think we have seen that a proper TV deal, proper commercial deals need to be in place. And that's something from Niall and Gary Owens and Roy Barry, who are right at the top end of the game, the FAI, have to ensure that that's in place in the future. Because if not, our game is never really going to grow. And it probably shows right now the difficulty our game has due to the lack of care that the game has got over the last 10, 15 or 20 years.
All right, Stephen McGuinness, thanks a million for taking the call this morning. All the best.
Thanks a lot, Owen. Thanks, Joe.
Stephen McGuinness of the PFAI there on the line.
OTB AM.
With Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, celebrating 10 years of iconic sporting moments at the Aviva Stadium. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.